It is time now for our regular motoring feature. Melinda Ferguson with us until just before 9 o'clock. She's been cruising this week in the sixth generation Subaru Outback. Hello, welcome. Sixth generation of the Outback. I was having a look at this online. Would I be right in calling this a station wagon?
You would, but can I quickly say, I was listening to you before, I also hate James Blunt. I just want to add that, because I had so much to say, but let's just get over that. I don't like James Blunt. Yes, Sarah Jane, Macaulay King, this is a station wagon. And, you know, I don't know if a station wagon, it's got such an unsexy sound,
no,
a station
has,
wagon.
Yeah, wagon.
And, I think it's the wagon part, so... I don't like calling it a station wagon because I think it's more than a station wagon. So I like to call it a crossover estate.
A crossover estate? What's it crossing over with?
Well, just the crossover is giving it a hint of being able to be a good off-roader.
Okay.
You remember we call? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Yeah.
So what else, as I always ask you, what else would we see in its class? I'm at a loss, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what else would be in the class of this.
And you're very right to not know, because there isn't much.
Mm.
You know, if you think about it, you close your eyes, you might go, well, I mean, the RS4 Audi is an estate, but that's like in such a speedy and different type of class. There is one car called a Volvo V90. Which many people don't even see on the roads. It would probably be like the only pure competition. However, it's much more expensive, much more kind of refined than the Outback.
Okay.
So if one really had to start digging for competitors, one would probably start having to look at, say, because of pricing. Let's pricing would give us competitive kind of comparativeness. And the Toyota Fortuner might be seen as a competitor, perhaps a Ford Everest, Mitsubishi Pajero Sport. But I still don't really think they are, because these are SUVs.
These are SUVs,
and
yeah.
They're seven-seaters. Those three that I mentioned.
I've just had a look at the Volvo V90. I mean, that, I can see, yes, but this doesn't look quite as, or the V90 doesn't look quite as rugged.
Rugged.
As the Subaru. Subaru owners apparently like to call this a power wagon. I bet they do.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, just give us a bit of a history of not just the Outback, but of the brand, of Subaru. Is it popular in South Africa? How does it do globally? How do you pronounce it?
Well, I used to call it Subaru.
Yeah.
And then I think Subaru is probably right.
Okay.
But I might slip in a Subaru now and again because it's a habitual thing. So, look, I think globally it's done very well. Mm. The specific Outback was launched in 95. And I did find out that, here's a bit of trivia for you. Do you remember Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee?
Absolutely, I do, yes.
Okay, so there was this huge ad campaign with Crocodile Dundee riding all over the outbacks of Australia.
Right.
Australia. Yeah, and I think...
Oh, there he is, yeah.
Oh, that
I
was
had
the...
such a crush on him. Sorry
Did
to
you?
Just off-road it. Massive.
I thought he's a bit grizzly.
Oh, just no. Absolutely fancied the pants off him. Andy and both
really?
Of them. That's a story for another day. Back to you.
Ian Botham, I can understand. I think you must do another program on that kind of which men are sexy.
I've done embarrassing crushes a million times. We can do it again
if you
like. But yeah, sorry, you were saying Paul Hogan cruising through
Paul
the Outback.
In
the Outback, mate.
In the Outback.
Got it.
That was the whole thing, you know. I think that was their very clever association.
Very good. Yep.
So now we've got the sixth generation Outback in 2021. In South Africa, Subaru is not a Toyota.
No.
Just for example, probably around 100 Outbacks sell a year. And the Fortuna, which I mentioned earlier, sells around 9,000 to 10,000 units a year. So we're looking at two complete, like a Toyota obsessed South Africa, and a very discerning kind of niche market for the Subaru Outback.
That is just extraordinary to me. I can't imagine. Mm. I mean, and you will tell me whether I'm talking nonsense here. I can't imagine why that's profitable.
Well, it's profitable.
Yeah,
well, look, luckily they've got the.
It's not really, is it?
I think that's a very small company in South Africa. They've also got like the Forester, which strangely enough could also almost be a competitor to the Outback.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yeah.
You know, there are brands in South Africa that manage to survive by playing very small numbers and having very tiny sort of setups.
Okay. The Forester that you mentioned, you will know, our very lovely consumer journalist Wendy Knoller, who also in other guises does car related stuff. That's her dream car. She said to me a couple of years ago, she said, you know, if I was going to get a brand new car and I was going to get something, it would be a Subaru Forester. And I thought, I've never really, it's not a brand I'm terribly familiar with. My only knowledge of Subaru is the Subaru Impreza, which was in the Fast and the Furious, which a former boyfriend of mine 100 years ago was absolutely obsessed with. I don't know a great deal about them, but I do see quite a few Foresters out and about. Mm. You know where I see them? I see them in places where people are walking their dogs. It's a kind of, it's like a rich person's doggy car.
Doggy car. Yeah. And you know what I like about it? It's very unassuming again. It's not in your face.
No,
and I
not.
Actually think the fact that it's not this big gas guzzling SUV for me would be a much nicer. I'm getting a bit tired of these SUV things. You know, they're just everywhere.
Yeah,
and
this
does incredible stuff off road, and it doesn't take that much space when you're trying to park.
Where did you drive this whatever it's that the Outback? Sorry.
The Outback, whatever it is.
Completely forgot.
Well, I did go along off to my home near Wilsley. I actually spoke about that to Lester Kivett the other day. He was doing a review of the area, but let's not get distracted.
Oh.
I took it up to Toys Kloof, which is always a great test drive for a car.
Yeah.
Car behaved brilliantly on all those windy, windy, steep, twisty bends. It did very well on very harsh corrugated gravel. Did some good off-roading, and so I gave it a good drive, and also did it around the city as well. So I got quite a good idea of what it could do.
In terms of, I mean, it looks quite, I described it as rugged earlier. It looks quite meaty. In terms of sort of doing a bit of perhaps more difficult off-roading, would it be good for that?
I really think it would. I mean, I didn't go and scale complete, you know, mountain precipices.
No, mountain ranges.
I wasn't doing that. But what I've kind of gathered from my fellow media journalists is that it really can actually do its biz up wherever you want it to.
Yeah. See, that you're right. In that regard, if it can do that, it perhaps does offer a nice alternative to the SUV if that's not what you want, if you don't need that and if you don't want that.
Exactly.
I think it looks all right from the outside. I mean, it's not, you know, I think you and I have said that this segment, the sort of station wagon estate segment, isn't our favourite, but it looks all right. How does it look inside?
I was actually really impressed. It's got a whole new 11.6, not 16 inch. That would be insane. An 11.6 inch touchscreen infotainment system that actually looks a lot like the Volvo's infotainment system, which I absolutely love because it looks like a tablet.
Mm.
So if you're into iPad, you know, you just touch things and it all comes up. It's got a lovely 12 speaker Harman Kardon audio system, which is great if you like music. And got lots of USB ports for the front and back for charging. Roof rails, panoramic sunroof. Well, that's kind of more on the outside, let's say. And the roof rails are also on the outside. But, yeah, I think it's very – the seating is lovely. Leather seats, of course, heated seats. And you've got a 10-way adjustable. And I must say it's one of the most comfortable seats, the Subaru Outback, that I have ever, ever experienced.
I've just had a look at the infotainment system. It's quite substantial, isn't it?
Looks very good.
Yeah, it looks. The thing that what I get about this car is practicality and functionality. Would that be a fair assessment?
Absolutely, and not pretentious. Nothing flat.
No,
you know, it's flashy
flashy
enough to look, as you said, it's got a kind of richish feel, but it's definitely not trying to
understated
sort of
wealth.
Yeah, it's understated wealth. It's people who've got a few horses, and they, you know, they're not trying to brag, and they wear all their, I was going to say, their dirty jodhpurs to Constantia on a Saturday morning, and they've got their Outback. Their dirty jodhpurs.
Oh, dear. All right. Now, safety-wise, obviously a big consideration, and Subaru's got a great reputation when it comes to safety. Mm. So what are the safety features that we can enjoy here? Oh, I'm being told, hurry up. Okay, quickly.
Okay. 8 airbags.
Yeah.
What a thing. 8 airbags.
Brilliant.
EyeSight driver assistance, which is like the semi-autonomous tech. It's got lane departure, trailer sway warning, so you obviously can pull your horses along at the back. And it's got blind spot monitor, reverse automatic braking. And yeah, I mean, it's got more than anything else for this price.
Yeah.
I must say, more than anything else for a lot more expensive.
All right. Okay. I want you just, we're not good for time. Okay. Let's talk price then. I know there's two models.
Sorry.
Go on. What did you love? What didn't you love?
Okay. I was going to say I loved its whole understated off-road ability. What I didn't like, and I would like to say this, it's a little bit like a nanny state in Australia, where if your eyes leave the road, it kind of reminds you, keep your eyes on the road. And I start going, don't tell me what to do, you silly car. So it does have a little bit of an overt safety kind of like, come on, I can watch you. I'm seeing that you're not concentrating.
Yeah, which, as I know you, I know that you wouldn't like that at all. I just know that that would really get on your nerves. All right, okay, two different models. Let me give. Oh, we've got a minute. Okay, I'm going to hazard a guess at price. I don't know. I'm going to guess at around 715,000 rand.
You are so close.
Am I?
You can get the Subaru Outback 2.5-liter field. A trim level at $699. Yeah.
Okay. And then is there another one?
Oh yeah, the one with the touring trim is $729.
Okay.
So you were right
so
in between,
right in the middle. Yeah. Mm. Okay. I mean that doesn't seem unnecessarily
outlandish.
High to me.
No,
it doesn't sound outlandish.
I think it's very good pricing,
for somebody,
to be honest.
If you are somebody who's listening in and you think, yeah, I'm understatedly wealthy, that's probably right up your alley. Thank you very much. Okay, good. That's the Subaru Outback. What might we be doing next week, please?
I'm off to Tankwe, where Africa Burn is. I'm doing the special edition Ford Raptor. You'll hear about it next week.
Okay, the Ford Raptor. Thanks very much indeed. Melinda Ferguson with us every Saturday morning for Car Talk.